and those two tzaddikim were sending blank letters back and forth to each other. So this week we're going to have a little bit more time to try to explain a different story about a different tzaddik. And that is to explain a story about the tzaddik of Tomashev, who most of us probably know better by the name of the Kotzke Rebbe. The Rebbe of Kotzke was a very difficult person to understand, a person who expected no less than 100% from every single one of his Talmidim, but at the same time was a person who was kulo esh, ruchani, completely spiritual fire, and his quest for truth and his quest for authentic avodas Hashem created some of the greatest human beings to ever walk the face of this earth. So the reason that I called him the tzaddik of Tomashev is that when he was a young man, he actually grew up in a town called Tomashev. And at some point, he went on his quest and ended up in Kotsk. But already after he had become the Kotzke Rebbe, after he had already sprouted into this tremendous gaon and tzaddik, so he took a trip back to Tomashev as an older man. Much like in a few weeks I'll be traveling, we have to figure out exactly what we'll do then. We're traveling to New York and I'm going to go to Philadelphia where I grew up. And one of the things I look forward to doing is hopefully if I get some time to go to the playground over there where I used to play and get to go back and relive your childhood, and we'll talk a little bit about that hopefully tonight. But he went back to Tomashev. And when he came to Tomashev, when he came to that place where he was growing up, where he was a little boy, so the first thing he did when he got to the town was he went to the cheder where he went as a little boy to go to speak to his Aleph Beis Rebbe. To the Rebbe who taught him the Aleph Beis. And he was mechabed his Rebbe so much. He went and he clearly was humbling himself before this seemingly simple Jew who taught him the Aleph Beis. And when word got around that the Kotzke Rebbe was in town, people started swarming all over the place to come get a bracha, to come catch a glimpse of the tzaddik. And eventually, word got around to one of the rabbanim in the town of Tomashev, who was in charge of, you know, the older boys, who was in charge of teaching Gemara and some of the advanced learning. And he was makbid. He had a hakpada on the Kotzker. He said to the Kotzker, you know, how could it be? I taught you Gemara. It would be proper to come and, you know, this should be a certain order of things in terms of who you come to visit. And he had a hakpada on the Kotzke Rebbe. And the Kotzke said to him, he said, you know, Rebbe, as much as I love you, and he said, I do, I love you so much, Rebbe. But you have to understand that my Rebbe who taught me the Aleph Beis, that's the only thing I'm certain about in my life. There's nothing else that I'm certain about in my entire life, except for the letters of the Aleph Beis. I know that an Aleph is an Aleph, and a Beis is a Beis. Whether I understand Pshat in the Gemara or not, I'm not sure. And whether I know, you know, if I'm living my life properly, I'm trying my best, but I don't know. But the only thing that I'm sure about is the letters of the Aleph Beis. And I want to try to explain what that means. Again, we have a few weeks, we have a lot of work to do before we actually get to the letters of the Aleph Beis. We have to first understand what that means, the letters of the Aleph Beis. So Rav Chanan Wasserman in the Kovetz Mamar, in source number one, quotes from his Rebbe from the Chavetz Chaim. And he said, Kol haTorah sheyada hagon miVilna. If you take all of the Torah that was known by the Vilna Gon, Yachidim kol haTorah sheyada haRambam, you add to that all the Torah that the Rambam knew. V'yachidim zo, you take together with all of that, shel Ravina v'Ravashi, you add to that the Torah that was known by Ravina and Ravashi, those who wrote the Gemara. V'shel Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Rav Yehuda HaNasi, who wrote the Mishnah. V'shel Hillel v'Shamai, the Nasi and the Av Beis Din of their time. V'hanavim and all of the Nevi'im, Yishayahu and Yechezkel and Daniel. Yoshua, and he adds to that even what Yoshua knew. V'af Mashem Moshe Rabbeinu Elav HaShalom Yada. And you take and you add to that all of the wisdom that was known to Moshe Rabbeinu Elav HaShalom. Kol Zeyachad, if you add that all together, Hu Kol Kach Ma'at, that's so little compared to what there is to know of the divine knowledge of Hashem, at its root, at its main source, if you want to know what the Torah contains within it, the mystery of the Torah that contains within it, So then you have to understand that if you add together all of that knowledge, Ad kedei kach she'anachnu omrim Toras Hashem Temima ki'ilu lo nago baklal. That when David HaMelech said Toras Hashem Temima, it means like after a person has, let's say you have like one of those, you're at like a, I don't know, you're at like a Shabbos Kala and they have one of those huge salads, right? And you're just like, it usually happens with those, with like the spaghetti noodle like things. You're like, plates and plates and plates are going of this thing and like, it just doesn't look like anybody touched it. So l'havdil alfei havdalos, Toras Hashem Temima means that the Torah is still absolutely pristine, it's complete, it's like nobody even touched it, no one even opened one page of the Torah, one letter of the Torah, compared to what there is to know, even if you would take all of the knowledge that's been revealed over the course of these many thousands of years. And it's not only true of the entire Torah, like Rav Chanan Wasserman said, in its entirety, but as the Sfas Emes says in source number 2, it's not just the entirety of the Torah, which we could believe, you know, that the entire Torah is, even if it's true that there are a set number of letters, there are a set number of psukim, it's a finite number, but the Torah Shebaal Peh is so huge. Sfas Emes says, not even the Torah koleles, the Torah in its unity, in its entirety, but the Sfas Emes says, HaTorah Shenikra Toras Emes, the Torah is called the Torah of Truth, the Torah is Hashem Temima, it's called a complete Torah. And you know what it means, a complete Torah? Zubchinas Hashlemus She'ein Lecha Os BaTorah She'ein BaKol HaTorah Mitzara Achdus HaEmes. Sfas Emes says that every single letter of the Torah contains within it this quality of Torah Hashem Temima. This quality of the every letter, the Beis of Bereishis, as many tzaddikim already said, but it's true of every letter in the Torah. Every letter of the Torah contains within it an infinite, and we have to understand what that means for people like ourselves. That every letter of the Torah contains within it the entire Torah, so that we could literally spend from now until the end of time talking about the letter Beis of Bereishis. And if we don't believe that, then we're missing out on the aura of the Torah. We're missing out on the light of the Torah. So let's try to learn a little bit how we can access, how we can begin to access the light of the letters of the Torah. And to have a paradigm shift in the way that we look at learning in general. We're not here to speak only about these floaty ideas, we're here to be practical people, to make big changes in our lives, and to ultimately understand how Torah study, when done, when approached, and when done properly, can literally be life-changing. So the Gemara says in Shabbos, in source number 3, Omri lei Rabbanan l'Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. The Rabbanan said to Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, Asu dardaki ha'idna levei midrasha. It's a fascinating Gemara. This is the main Gemara in Shas that talks about the letters of the Alphabet, which we'll be revisiting hopefully many times. Asu dardaki ha'idna levei midrasha. Some children came to the Beis Medrash today. Asu dardaki, some children came, ha'idna today, levei midrasha to the Beis Medrash. Va'amru mile da'afilu b'yamei Yoshua b'nun lo itmar kavatayah. And they were saying over things in the Torah, they were saying over secrets in the Torah that we haven't heard even since the days of Yehoshua ben Nun, even during the days of Yehoshua ben Nun. We never heard things like this. And what were they saying? The Gemara continues, Aleph Beis, they were saying Aleph Beis, or Aleph Bet, if you prefer, Aleph Bina. They were darshaning each of the letters. Gimel Dalir, Gomel Dalim. Aleph Bina means to teach wisdom. Gomel Dalim means to give charity to the poor. And they go through the Vichu, stands for Vichulu. They went through all the letters of the Alphabet and were teaching these mystical secrets of the letters of the Alphabet. These children came to the Beis Medrash. So the great tzaddik of Pizetzna, the Eish Kodesh, lets us in on a little secret about these children, and this is where the whole shir begins. The Eish Kodesh said, "Al pi pshuto yesh ledaktek." Source number 4. Lama karo sam dardiki kishegilu kol kach Torah shafil bimei Yoshua benun lo itamar kavatayim. The Pizetzner said, "Al pi pshat." We need to explain. We don't understand why is the Torah calling these people dardiki, which means young nursery children. If they're coming and revealing such deep secrets of the Torah, that there's something. These are not regular children. So the Pius Esther says, and we'll say a little bit outside for a second, just to brace ourselves into what he's trying to bring us into. When a person studies Torah, there are two ways you could study Torah. One way you could study Torah, and you're learning a text. You're studying a book. You're studying a particular Gemara. You're studying even a piece of Chassidus. And you could study that Torah and try to understand the ideas that are encapsulated in that Torah. And that sounds like the way that most of us normally study Torah. But there's a deeper way that you could study Torah, which means that when you're studying Torah, you're trying to connect to Hashem in the words themselves. And there's a difference between a person who studies Torah in the first way and a person who studies in the second way. Someone who studies Torah in the first way actually gets to learn Torah from Hashem. It means that if a person is sitting here right now and wants to hear nice ideas to say over at the Shabbos table, then you're hearing Torah from me. And that's nice, but it's not what we're here in this world for. But if a person is here to hear the Dvar Hashem, then you're not hearing me speak, you're hearing Hashem speak, and I'm just a vessel that's bringing you the word of Hashem. So the Pius Esner says back inside, Aval Hashem Yisbarach Melamed Torah L'Am Yisrael. Hashem teaches Torah to the Jewish people. V'tzrichin ladas im b'chol pam she'ish Yisrael lomid Torah hu Yisbarach Melamed Torah. We need to understand, is that true that every single time we sit down to learn, Hashem is teaching us directly? Aval nira na eich lamad im Moshe Rabbeinu. If we look at how Hashem learned with Moshe Rabbeinu, we'll understand something. That the way that Moshe Rabbeinu learned, that has a lot to do with the way that we learn. And if we can understand how Moshe Rabbeinu learned, who's better than Moshe Rabbeinu? They could say that they connect the Torah, you know, more clearly than Moshe Rabbeinu. So what do we see by Moshe Rabbeinu? We see something amazing. The Gemara says in Megillah and Daf Chaf Aleph that only when Moshe Rabbeinu, listen carefully, only when Moshe Rabbeinu learned something new did he stand when he was learning. The Gemara cites two pesukim. One pasuk seems to indicate that Moshe Rabbeinu was sitting on Har Sinai. The other pasuk seems to indicate that he was standing on Har Sinai. And the Gemara says, when he learned something new, he stood. When he was reviewing something old, so then he was sitting. And Rashi says the most amazing thing. Rashi says, you know why he was standing when he learned something new? Because when he learned something new, when Moshe Rabbeinu learned something new, he was learning it directly from Hashem. And when he was learning from Hashem, he had to stand for the honor of Hashem. And when he was learning something old, when he was just reviewing an old text, some piece of information, some piece of knowledge that he already knew, and it wasn't this visceral experience of having Hashem talk to you. So the Pius Esner said, Rashi explains that that's when he was sitting. And says the Holy Tzaddik of Pius Esner, whose Yahrzeit was just last week, that's the pshat, that's the key to understanding the secret of this Gemara. And that's what we're going to talk about for the next 25 minutes or so. That the reason that the Gemara calls those people children, and if you just take a look very briefly, we're not going to get into this right now, but in source number 5 from the Megala Amukos, the Megala Amukos says very clearly in that last line after the three dots, Ki Rabbi Akiva haya ben osam dardiki, Rabbi Akiva was one of those children, quote-unquote, and he was not a young man at the time. She'nichnasu lebeis hamedrash. And if you look in Tosfos on the spot, Tosfos says other tzaddikim who were there, who were also not children. So now the Pius Esner Rebbe says, you know what it means that they were children who were revealing these secrets? It means they were people who were looking at the letters of the Aleph Beis like children. Meaning, what's a child? When a child learns something new, it's like the most amazing thing in the world, right? When a child learns the Aleph Beis, they don't know the Aleph Beis. For them, everything is clear, everything is certain. This is Aleph, and this is wow. What do I do with that? I don't know, and it doesn't really matter. A child is not sophisticated enough and is not looking to find some sort of intellectual gymnastics to play on. They like other types of gymnastics. But the intellectual gymnastics, they leave that for the adults. The adults are the ones who like get so excited about their own intelligence that they forget that just touching or looking at a letter of the Aleph Beis is the holiest thing in the world. For a child, when a child learns the letters of the Aleph Beis, there's no question. The child doesn't say, okay, but what do I, why is that important? What do I do with that? Like, what is Beis going to do for me? What do I do with Dalet? And these people, Rabbi Akiva, and the Chaverim of Rabbi Akiva, who are coming to the Beis Medrash and saying these secrets of the Aleph Beis, are called children. Because they were willing to look at the letters of the Aleph Beis, and by extension of that, the entire Torah, every single time, like it was the first time. So that when they were looking at the letters of the Aleph Beis for the millionth time, they were saying the deepest secrets. They weren't saying, let's stop here, we already know the letters of the Aleph Beis. How many times we're sitting at a table on Shabbos, or we're sitting in a class, and somebody begins to say over a Rashi that we know, and say, I know that one already. That's not learning Torah like a dardiki. That's not learning Torah like a child. Rav Chanan Wasserman, who we quoted before, Rav Chanan Wasserman, there's a story of Rav Chanan Wasserman that one time the Chafetz Chaim was giving a shmuz, and the whole time he was smiling from ear to ear. And somebody who was in the Beis Medrash also with Rav Chanan Wasserman at the time, both of them as Bachrim, you know, they saw him smiling, and they said, like, he gave the same shmuz last year on Parshas, you know, Vayir, or whatever it was. So Rav Chanan Wasserman was shaking his head back and forth. He said, no. This time he said five extra words. He said five different. He said five words different than last time. Because he was looking for something new. I didn't hear this already. I heard it last year with my old kalim, with my old way of looking at the world, with my old, you know, glasses. But this year I have a new way of looking at it. This time I have a new way of looking at the letters. And when a person stops looking at Torah as, well, what do I get from that? And starts looking at Torah as an experience of encountering Hashem, so then everything we say is making us stand up. And standing up means that we're standing for the respect of Hashem, but it also means it's standing us up. It's making us higher people. It's making us deeper people. We're not sitting passively anymore in our Judaism. We're standing up. We're doing something about it. But it would be inappropriate to end our understanding of the Gemara there, because there's one other piece of that Gemara that seems somewhat enigmatic. The Gemara said that we haven't heard secrets like this since the days of Yehoshua ben Nun. That seems like a kind of random thing to say. And the Gemara is never random. If the Gemara says that these children were coming in and were sharing secrets of the Aleph Beis that we haven't heard since the days and even during the times of Yehoshua ben Nun, then there's something about Yehoshua ben Nun that needs to be understood if we are to hope to fathom the depth of the Aleph Beis. But in order to do that, we have to go back one step. There's a fantastic and very strange, very bizarre teaching from the Rebbe of Kamarna. And you could see it for yourself. I don't even need to say it, I don't think, but I'll say it just for those who are listening on the tape. In source number 6 from the Zohar Chai, from the Rebbe of Kamarna. See, we don't really understand what this means. At least I don't. But the Gemara describes, and the Svarim HaKadoshim describe, that there has been and there is this epic battle going on between Yaakov and Esav and their children. The Gemara describes in Megillah how when Yerushalayim is in ruins, you know for sure that Rome is doing well. And when Rome is not doing well, so you know that Yerushalayim is doing well. And we don't have to look further than the fact that the dollar and the shekel are always fluctuating in opposite directions. But Esav and Yaakov are two personalities. They're two soul prints who are at odds with each other. And so when the Torah describes Esav as Esav ish yodea tzayir ish sadeh, that tells us something very deep about the personality of Esav. And the Kamarna says, and if this doesn't make you smile, then I can't help anybody here, you know? He says, Esav ish yodea tzayir ish sadeh is numerically equivalent to the letters Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, Hei, Vav, Zayin, Ches, Tes, Yud, Chaf, Lamed, Mem, Nun, Samach, Ayin, Pei, Tzadik, Kuf, Resh, Shin, Tov. And he says that what Esav was trying to do, apparently, in his hunting, was that Esau was trying to steal and hunt and trap the letters of the Aleph Beis from Yaakov. And what does that mean? So if you look at Esau and Yaakov and what they're called, their names, you see the most amazing thing. Source number 7, in Vayimali Yameel Aledes, the time comes for Rivka to give birth, and Baruch Hashem, she gives birth to two healthy twins. Vayitze Harishon Admoni Kulo Kaderaser, the first one comes out red and hairy. Vayikru Shmo Esav, and his name is Esav. Va'achar Kein Yotza Achiv, and immediately after that his brother comes out, V'yado Uchezes Be'ekev, and he's holding on to his heel. Vayikroshmo Yaakov, and his name is called Yaakov. Vayitzchak ben Shishim Shana Balevis of Sam. Yitzchak is 60 years old when he gives birth to him. And Rashi tells us that the name Esav, and the fact that he was born hairy, tells us something about his personality. Vayikroshmo Esav, Hakol Karu Lo Kein. Everybody called Esav Esav. The pasuk says Vayikru Shmo Esav. They called him Esav. As opposed to by Yaakov, where it says Vayikrashmo, that he was called by his parents, presumably. And Rashi picks up on that and says that everybody called him Esav. Lefishaya Nase Venigmar Besaaro Kiben Shanim Harbe, because he was born like a full adult, Ki'ilu. Obviously not an adult, though. But he was born with hair. The Medrash says he was born with teeth. He was born like he was already made. And therefore they called him Esav, from the word mate, from the Shorash Asu. And the Baal Turim points out that his name Esav is Bigmatria Shalom, which means complete. It means peace, but it also means complete. And so what we can say about Esav is that Esav's personality is that of being born complete. It's the exact opposite of the letters of the Aleph Beis. If the letters of the Aleph Beis we've already established means looking at something fresh every single time, like a child looking at those letters of the Aleph Beis for the first time, so then what we mean when we say that Esav was trying to hunt and to trap the letters of the Aleph Beis from Yaakov, what that means is that Esav was trying to steal this koach of Yaakov of looking at the Torah fresh every time. And because Esav was created complete, without any need to change or to grow or to self-actualize, it was quite natural for Esav to lead a life that was bent on taking those letters of Aleph Beis and hiding them away. Similarly, it's quite remarkable that when Esav comes to fight Yaakov in source number 10, at that famous showdown between the Malachim of Esav, the Malachim of Yaakov and Esav, and they come back, Yeshua, Malachim of Yaakov, they come back and they say, your brother is not coming for peace. He's coming to fight you. And he's coming with 400 men. And the Svarim point out that the 400 men of Esav are the letter Tav. Because Esav says, I'm at the end of the Aleph Beis already. I've finished all of it. There's nothing left for me to learn. I know Aleph through Tav. I know it all. And I'm Asu. I was made, born. I don't have to change. There's nothing for me to learn. There's nothing for me to fix. Whereas Yaakov Avinu has a different paradigm. Yaakov Avinu is the paradigm of Yaakov. Yaakov means he will reach the end. Ekev means the heel, the end. Means walking. Yaakov means walking. That's why he's holding onto the heel of Esav. He's saying, no, you have to keep going. Just because you were created full doesn't mean that there's not more for you to grow. Yaakov means continuing till the end. Right? Yaakov is in the future tense, and Ekev means the end. I'm continuing in the future till the end. And that's what Yaakov's all about in his whole life. He spends years studying Torah over and over again. And what was there to study back then? What was there to study? Even if you take the Midrashim that they understood Kol Torah Kulo. So when you begin to look beneath the surface of what that means, it doesn't mean that they actually had necessarily the text of the Torah the way we have it. The Zohar says that when Yaakov Avinu, you know the story with Yaakov and the sheep of Lavan, when he was taking the sticks and he was whittling the sticks and making stripes in the sticks and spots in the sticks to put in front of the sheep so that they'd give birth to spotted and speckled and striped sheep. So the Zohar says that when Yaakov was making stripes in the sticks, that was Yaakov Avinu putting on tefillin. just like we put the stripes on our hands. He was making stripes and sticks. That was how he put on tefillin. They didn't have Torah the way they did. What was he doing the whole time? He was studying the same thing over and over again, deeper and deeper and deeper. He was studying the letters of the alphabet. Now tonight's the Yahrzeit of Rachel Imenu. And I was thinking on the way over here that the catchphrase, so to speak, if you could say such a thing about a prophetic text, the catchphrase that's going around this time of year in Eretz Yisrael is people are talking about Rachel Mevaka al Banah, she's crying over her children. And I was thinking about that and what that means, that Rachel's crying over her children, and I think it has a lot to do with what we're talking about. She's crying over the fact that we've lost this way of studying Torah like children. She's crying over the fact that the only thing we're looking for is some new chiddush, some new thing to tickle my brain so that I could share with other people. And we've lost that ability to look at the Torah simple and to be inspired and enlightened by the letters. And Rachel gave birth to a child, her firstborn child, who carried on in the most clear way the lineage of Yaakov Avinu in the fight against Esav. In source number 11, Vayhi kasher yalda Rachel es Yosef omer leYaakov el Lavan shalcheini ve'elcha el makomi ve'lartzi. And it was when Rachel gave birth to Yosef that Yaakov turned to Lavan and he said, I can go home now. I don't have to be afraid of Esav anymore. And Rashi points this out. Kasher yalda Rachel es Yosef, he said, I can go home. Mishenolad sitno shel Esav. When the sparring partner, the sitno means the force that stands opposite Esav, was born, Shenemar, as the pasuk says, that Yosef is the force that stands opposite Esav. Vayhi beis Yaakov esh. The house of Yaakov is fire, and the house of Yosef is lahava, is a flame. Ubeis Esav lakash, and Esav is straw, which gets burned by the fire. And Yosef Atzadik is the lahava of Yaakov that comes and protects him from the damage and from the attempted trappings of Esav, who tries to steal the letters of the Aleph Beis from us and says, you can only study Torah on an intellectual level. So that when the Rabbeinu Bechaya says, we totally understand now what he means when he says that the ketones pasim, that coat that was given to Yosef, he gave him a coat, that's true. But on a deeper level, part of what this means that he gave him the ketones pasim, davar acher ketones pasim, shemasar lo sod chaf beis osios. That Yosef was given by Yaakov the secret of the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis, v'akavana bezeh shehalvishu yediyas ha-chachma v'shem chaf beis osios kimo shelaman mipi shem ve'ever. Shehalvishu, he dressed him in this cloak. What that means is that he showed Yosef, and we have to talk about this more, Amir Tashem, in the coming weeks, that he showed Yosef that the whole world is just clothing dressed up around the letters of the Aleph Beis. The whole world is just a physical manifestation of the letters of the Aleph Beis, so that one day, I know for sure, some scientist is going to make some high-powered microscope, and he's going to look deep inside, he'll see the atom, he'll go into the nucleus of the atom, and he'll go deeper, and he'll see the quarks, that's like even smaller than atoms. I'll go deeper into that, and all of a sudden he's going to see like the letter Aleph, and then they're going to roll credits. And it's going to say like Hashem director, Hashem actor, Hashem everything. Because the letters, the Aleph Beis, are the fabric of creation. And so therefore, we don't have time to read it right now, but you read for yourself in source number 14. The Shem Yishmael says that it's for that reason that Yosef's name is Yosef. Because what's Yosef? To add a little bit more, and a little bit more, and a little bit more. The exact opposite of Esav. Esav is, I'm done. Yosef is, add a little more. Add a little more. You think you're done? Yosef, add more. Add more. And wasn't it Yosef who gave birth to a man who would live many years after him named Yoshua ben Nun? Yoshua ben Nun came from the tribe of Yosef. And if there's one thing which characterizes the personality of Yoshua ben Nun, is that Yoshua ben Nun was a man of the letters of the Aleph Beis. Our introduction to Yoshua in Sefer Shmos, in source number 15, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe, panim al panim kasher yidaber ish al re'ehu. Hashem spoke to Moshe face to face, like a man speaks to his best friend. That was last week, the Trisker Magid, and of Mendel Vorker. V'shav el ha-machane m'sharso Yehoshua ben Nun nar lo yomish mitocha oil. Yehoshua ben Nun is described as the nar lo yomish mitocha oil. He's the child who doesn't leave the tent of Moshe Rabbeinu. I learned it all once already? Okay, I'll learn it again. And Ibn Ezra points out, m'sharso Yehoshua ben Nun nar, he's called the nar. Unless you think Yehoshua ben Nun was just some kid, like, you know, like maybe like a Shmuel and Navi type thing, like Chana gave birth to Shmuel and she sent him off to Cheder nice and early, right after she finished nursing him. She sent him at the age of 3 to go learn by Eli HaKohen. Unless you think that Yehoshua is just this toddler walking around. And by the way, we don't have time for this right now, but I can't not say it. That Rachel is described as being like 3 years old when she meets Yaakov for the first time. And he goes and he pulls a stone off of the well. And the Sefer Yetzir, which is the primary text of the letters of the Aleph Beis, calls the letters of the Aleph Beis stones. Ayin Shom. But he's called the Nar, he's called the child. And Ibn Ezra says, V'hu chaya me'a v'eser shanim. Hold on a second. Yehoshua lived for 120 years. V'chachamim amru, and we have a tradition, ki sheva shanim kavish v'sheva shanim chalak, that he spent 7 years dividing the land of Israel, and 7 years conquering the land of Israel before that. Im kain haya ben chamishim v'sheish shana. So if you do the calculation of when Matan Torah was, plus entering Eretz Yisrael, plus the 7 years of Kivush, plus the 7 years of Chalukah, of Eretz Yisrael, which after which Yehoshua died right away, so you get to 120, which means that Yehoshua was 56 years old when the Torah calls him a Nar. So the Ibn Ezra says, why is the Torah calling a 56-year-old a Nar? So the Ibn Ezra has his answer. He says, because somebody who, in the Hebrew language, somebody who serves someone else as a Mesharis is called a Nar. And the Ramban has his approach. The Ramban says a similar idea, that when you have, let's say, a Rebbe and a Talmud, it doesn't matter how old one is or how young the other is, when you have someone who is a Ish Nechbad, who's a Baal Hasrara, who's in charge, and then you have someone under him, so that person's called a Nar, and he brings many different places from Malachim Beis, and from Shmuel Beis, and from Yehoshua, and from other places, where you find, and from Esther, where you find that the word Nar doesn't mean necessarily a young child. But I think, after what we've said tonight, we understand also on a different level. That Yehoshua is called Nar because he's lo yomash mitochol. He will never leave the tent of Moshe Rabbeinu, no matter how much you think you know. There's still more to learn. And I'll prove it to you. The Medrash Rabbah says that when Moshe Rabbeinu was getting ready to leave the world and he needed to pick a leader, he had his eyes set not on Yehoshua. He wanted his children to take over like every parent would want. And in source number 19, the Medrash says, Vayidabar Moshe l'Hashem le'mor yifkod Hashem elokeyu ruchos. Moshe spoke to Hashem and he said, Hashem, you understand the spirit of man and you understand the nature of what we need for a leader. Please pick my son, he's a good leader. Amar Moshe, Badin hu sheyarshu banai es kvodi. Badin, the halacha should be that I, as the king, should have my children take over for me. Amar lo Kadosh Baruch Hu, notzer teina yachal pirya. No. The one who guards the fruit, the one who guards the fig, yachal pirya, he gets to eat the fruit. Meaning the one who is guarding the Torah the whole time, Yehoshua ben Nun. Bonecha yeshvu lehem. They're sitting and they're enjoying their princehood as the sons of Moshe Rabbeinu. Yehoshua harbe sharsecha. He's been serving you the whole time. Baharbe chalak lecha kavod. Giving you so much kavod. V'hu haya mashkim u'marv b'beis havad. He's the one who's always getting to the base medrash quick. And he's the one who's mesader the safsalim. He's organizing the base medrash so you can come and give the shir. Yehoshua is going to take over. Notzer te'ina, the one who guards the te'ina, the one who guards the fruit, he gets to eat it. And I do not think that it's a coincidence that the Gemara in Erevin, in source number 21, darshans this pasuk in the following way. Another major smile factor coming right now. Amar Rav Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan. Ma'ay dichziv notzer te'ina yachal pirya. What does it mean when it says, he who guards the te'ina, he who guards the fig? will eat of its fruit. Lama nimshalu divrei Torah keteina. Why is the Torah compared to a teina, to a fig? Ma teina zu kol zman she'adam emashmesh ba motzi ba, just like a teina, a fig. As long as there's some pulp left, as long as there's some fruit left, no matter how many times you keep coming back to it and tasting from that fruit. You know, if you take an apple or if you take an orange and you suck out all the juice, so then you're just left with a gross, slimy orange, you know, husk. The case of the orange doesn't taste like anything, it's bitter. But the te'ena is not like that. The te'ena, the Gemara says, you can come back to it and you can chew a little bit of the te'ena, you can suck on the te'ena a little bit, and you can come back again and again and again and again and again, and no matter how many times you come back, as long as there's a little bit of fruit left, you can still find something new. Af divrei Torah kol zman she'adam hoga behem motzi behem tam. So to every single time you come back to Torah, again and again, you're going to find something new. Yehoshua ben Nun knew how to look at the Torah in a way of a child. To look at the Torah in the way of the letters of the Aleph Beis. Of course he did. He came from Yosef. He came from Yaakov. And therefore, one last thing. Therefore, we also find that Yehoshua ben Nun had this very, and this is maybe for another time as well, there's a lot more to say about this, but Yehoshua ben Nun had this, in Chazal's understanding of his personality, Yehoshua had this crazy obsession with Mishneh Torah, with Sefer Dvarim. Sefer Dvarim is called Mishneh Torah, which means, literally, a repetition of the Torah, to see the Torah again from a new perspective. It's not exactly repetition, it's seeing it on a deeper level, maybe on a more practical level, as some of the Sfarim explain. And so you find over and over again that Yehoshua ben Nun is always found with Mishneh Torah. In source number 22, Damar Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, Sefer Mishneh Torah haya signon Yehoshua. Sefer Mishneh Torah was the signon of Yehoshua. And the Eitz Yosef explains the commentary on the Medrash that signon means shayashagar b'fiv v'osek b'tamid. He was constantly going over Sefer Dvarim. Because Yehoshua understood that Sefer Dvarim is a repetition of the Torah. There's no such thing as repetition. You could go over the same thing a million times. You could literally spend your entire life understanding the Aleph of the Aleph Beis. When Yehoshua is found in the very beginning of Sefer Yehoshua, Lo yisatzev ish, in source number 24, Lo yisatzev ish lefanecha kol yimechayecha, don't worry, kasher hayusei Moshe ayei imach, I'm going to be with you like I was with Moshe, lo arpecha v'lo azveka. I'm not going to leave you. Chazak v'yamatz ki ata tanchil es ha'am hazeh, you are going to lead the people into Eretz Yisrael asher nishbati la'avosam la'seis lehem. Rak chazak v'yamatz ma'od, just strengthen yourself, lishmor, lasos, kechol ha'torah asher tzivicha, make sure you keep the entire Torah that I commanded Moshe Avdi, al tasur mimenu, do not ever leave it, don't turn to the right or to the left, l'man taskil b'chol asher teilech, lo yamush sefer ha'torah hazeh mipicha, never ever stop learning this Torah. And Rashi says, what's this Torah? Sefer Mishneh Torah ha'yelfanov. At that time, again, Yehoshua is sitting with Mishneh Torah on his lap, for the million and one time. Million and first time, probably. Right? For the million and first time, and second and third and fourth time, Yehoshua is looking at Sefer Mishneh Torah again because he understands that the Torah is infinitely deep. And the letters of the See, that's the thing. You're not better off. You are better off, obviously, on one level, on a practical level. And that's for sure true. Nobody should think that we should now spend our entire week studying the letters of the Aleph Beis. We studied on Monday night together. But the rest of the week, when we're studying Chumash, when we're studying Halacha, and when we're studying other things, and when we're reading Tehillim, and when we're davening, we're not studying the letters of the Torah as letters, but it changes the way that we learn Halacha. This isn't to undermine study of Halacha or study of Chumash. It's a different way of studying Halacha and of studying Chumash. We'll talk more about that next week. So when we're trying to educate ourselves, and when we're trying to educate our children, the advice that we're given by the Chacham Mikol Adam, by Shlomo HaMelech, is Chanuch Linar Al Pi Darko, Ki Gam Ki Yaskin Lo Yasur Mimenu. Chanuch Linar Al Pi Darko means that you should teach someone to learn like a child, so that even when they get old, they'll continue learning like a child. That's not the pshat, but that's what it means. Chanuch Linar Al Pi Darko. Teach a person to learn according to his way like a child, so that he never gets old and stale. Gam ki yaskin lo yasur mimenu. And this is the story of Am Yisrael. So we began with a story, a which I think we hopefully have a better understanding of Alanda's story. The Chazon Ish had a younger brother, and he was very fond of telling a story about his younger brother. At the tender age of 5, his younger brother wandered into their father, the Chazon Ish, and his younger brother's father. He walked into his study, and he said, "Abba, I want you to know, I know the entire Shas. I got it. I've mastered the entire Shas." And so I said, "Wow, that's pretty good for a 5-year-old. Like, that's pretty impressive." He said, "Would you mind going over to the bookshelf and pulling off a Masechet Yevamos, one of the harder Masechtas?" He said, "And why don't you open up to one of the Dapim that deals with Ger Katan, which is some of the easier sugyas about how you convert a child, technically, how do you do that halachically, he doesn't have Das to convert himself. Let's open to one of the sugyas where it talks about, you know, Yibum, and a person who, all these crazy calculations, like almost mathematical calculations of how a person could marry this person if they're his sister's, you know, this, very difficult marriage." I said, "So why don't you read from here?" "Okay." So he hops up, you know, on the chair and sits next to his father, and they open up this big volume, which is bigger than the 5-year-old kid. And he opens up the sefer, and his father says, "Here, read from here. Amarov, go." So the Chazon Ish's brother puts his hand on the page, and he says, "Aleph, Mem, Resh, Resh, Bez, Aleph." And he looks over at his father, and he smiles, and he says, "Abba, I could do this for any page, any line that you show me. I could do this for the whole Shas." And his father left. And the Chazon Ish used to say over this story, and I like to say over this story, and do we really think that there's any difference between being able to say Aleph, Mem, Resh, Resh, Beis, Aleph, Amar Rava, and knowing all of the Ketzos HaChoshen by heart? Torah Hashem Tamima. Knowing all of the information and all of the Torah on a level of information that's been known since the time of Moshe to Yoshua to the Nevi'im to the Chachamim down to the smartest person you know today is just as nothing of the Torah as the letter Aleph. Is there any difference between a child who says, "I know the entire Shas because I know the letters of the Aleph Beis," and we, in our adult sophistication, who think that because we've heard a few more Rashis and a few more Rambans ala Torah, and we've read a few more pieces from Rav Dessler, so we know everything there is to know. To study Torah like a child means to understand that you know everything if you know the letters of the Aleph Beis, because the letters of the Aleph Beis teach me that you have to look again and again and again. They're infinitely deep. So the Navi says, in Hosea, "Ki nar Yisrael v'oaveinu." The Jewish people are called the nar. We're called children. "Ki nar Yisrael," the Jewish people, "are children v'oaveinu," and I love them. May Hashem bless us that we be zocha to spend many more Monday nights together trying to understand what this means. This is just the beginning. We have a few more introductions before we even get to the letters themselves. May Hashem bless us that we're zocha to study Torah when we're together and when we're not together on the level of nar. And that Tzchus will be Zoche to connect to the love that Hashem has for the Jewish people, Ki Nar Yisrael V'Aveu. And that merit will be Zoche to connect back to the tradition of Yoshua and to Yosef HaTzadik and to Rachel Eminu, Zir Tzitz Tanayit, and to Yaakov Avinu. Be a Skol Tzadik, and Amin. Amen.